Praise the Lord, church. It is so great to be here on this absolutely phenomenally beautiful Wednesday evening. I wasn't quite for sure if we'd ever see 80 degrees again, but yes, it's quite beautiful, and it just follows after an awesome Easter weekend. How many of you had a great weekend on Easter? We had just a beautiful, I'm so excited. We had six in our English service and five in our Spanish service were baptized on Sunday. So, and I believe Janesville, their Easter service, I think Brother Ben said they had 27, I believe, in attendance. And Brother Millen would be able to vouch for that. But so that's exciting. And I believe we're closing on our building in Janesville the second week of May, somewhere in that neighborhood. And so God is just doing some awesome things. I talked with Brother Ben Thompson before service. He was on his way up to visit his dad who had emergency heart valve surgery today. He's doing okay. He is a bit older. I believe he's in his 80s. But just pray for Brother Ben for safe travels, that he would have a great visit with his father. And then also continue to pray for Brother James Hawk and his situation there. And Sister Audrey is here tonight, but we just want to pray for our Brother James. And then also my Brother Johnny, many of you know he had had open heart surgery, but he had an aortic aneurysm repaired. And the last 3-4 days, his temperature has just spiked all the way up to 104.5. They don't know. He's been in and out of the doctor's office for the last 2 days, and they don't know what's causing it. So just pray for him. He's like, I'm so tired of this, bro. And he was a bit down because he was doing so well with his recovery. So, but just pray for those, and I'm sure there are many other needs that we have here. Remember Sister Anderson, or Sister Carpenter, continue to remember her in prayer. But if we could stand, it's so great to have Brother Josh Tingley here with us tonight, missionary to the country of Haiti, and he's going to be sharing his burden for the nation of Haiti, and then also will be to he'll be preaching for us. But let's pray for this service and pray for our brothers and sisters that are needing our prayers. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, you have granted us a most beautiful, beautiful day, a beautiful week. And I thank you, Lord, for the awesome power of the Holy Ghost and such a powerful, great, victorious Easter weekend. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters. I pray, God, those that are sick here, Brother James Hawk, Sister Pam Carpenter, who's still struggling, Lord, and Sister Christina McKnight, and Brother Johnny, and Brother Ben Thompson's father. So many needs of healing, Lord. And God, you are a healer, and I pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon each of my brothers, each of my sisters that need a healing touch of the Holy Ghost here today, right here tonight, right now, Lord. I pray, Lord, for our worship service. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would fall upon Brother Josh Tingley tonight as he brings the word of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you. We're going to go into just a few songs here. Sister Sarah Repka is going to lead us in worship. And it's so great to see our young people involved. It just does my heart good. And I love this. God bless you. Just, if you want to be seated, you're welcome to be seated or stand and worship. God bless.
Hidden glory in creation.
Praise God. Praise God. What an awesome presence of the Holy Ghost. I just want to thank our music team for Friday night. We had such a phenomenal Friday night, Good Friday service, and then Sunday it was just awesome, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost, and I just want to thank them. It was last summer I got a call from Brother Steve Rogers, wanted to know if my wife and I would like to meet him and his wife at the state fair. So we went to the state fair and met with Brother Steve and Sister Cindy Rogers, and halfway through that meeting or hanging around at the state fair, Brother Steve says, "Oh, we have a missionary here somewhere at the state fair." And within probably 30 minutes, we run into Brother Josh Tingley and his family enjoying cream puffs and everything else you enjoy at the state fair. I had no idea that he would be here and our paths would cross again this soon. But we had breakfast together today and had a great time of fellowship. And he's got a real burden. He's going to share that with us. And let's just give him a welcome. God bless you, Brother Josh. Appreciate you. Appreciate it.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Amen. I like what I feel. Amen. The presence of the Lord that's here this evening. Man, it was, I guess, almost a year from last summer sometime that we came through. And as we were getting ready to go into the state fair, we were lining up in the line to buy tickets. And there was a lady that was in front of us, and she noticed us with our kids and all of that. And so we're lining up to buy tickets, and she's in a separate line. And she said, "Hey, I've got some extra tickets if you guys want them for your kids." And so jumped on that opportunity. And so she gave us one extra ticket. She asked, "Well, how old are your kids?" And my youngest was 4 at the time, and my oldest was 5 or 6. And so, or 6. And so they're like, "Well," they gave us one ticket for him, and anybody, I think it was 4 and under, was free. Well, my daughter got a little bit upset that she didn't get a ticket, even though she didn't need one. She didn't need a ticket. But she's now upset because her brother got a ticket and she didn't. And so I had to explain to her, and I said, "Listen, I said, your brother got a ticket because we have to pay for him, but you're free. You get to go in for free." And her eyes got real big. And from the ticket booth all the way in the front gate, she was dancing and shouting, "I'm free! I'm free! I'm free." I don't know about you, but I get a little bit excited when I remember that I'm free. I don't know about you, but when I come into the house of God, that's why I lift up my hands. That's why I do. That's why I shout. That's why it's awesome to see these young people up here. Why? Because we've been set free. I'm thankful. Lord, thank you. I'm free. Oh, we just came from Resurrection Sunday. Thank you for paying the price for me. I don't have to pay the price because I'm free. I'm free. Amen. Amen. What a privilege it is to be here with all of you. You may be seated. I want to give honor to your pastor. Thank you for the invitation to come and to share our burden for the nation of Haiti. I do wish that my wife was here. She sends her greetings. She is at home with our newest addition. So now we have 3, and she is at home. She's not quite traveling yet, and so she's taking care of the 3 kids at home. Y'all pray for my wife. She has the harder job for sure. She's at home with 3 kids by herself. And a newborn, so y'all pray for her. She needs all the prayers that that the church can remember to pray. Amen. Amen. My wife and I were privileged to serve in the nation of Spain for the last 3 years. And working in Spain in a little place called Andorra. Has anybody ever heard of Andorra? It's another small nation close to Spain. Wow, there's several. Andorra is a micronation that is found between Spain and France. And if you look at a map of Spain and France, you probably never even see Andorra. You have to zoom in really close, right in the middle. It's not even on a coastline. It's just up in the mountains in between Spain and France. And there had been many prayers prayed over Andorra that somebody would come and feel a burden and start a church there. And so finally, there was an answer to the call, and a young family came and started the very first apostolic work in Andorra. And our last year and a half working in Spain, we were able to work as furlough replacements for that couple as they were here in the States raising funds. And so we pastored that small church for a year and a half leading up to our time coming home. And in that year and a half, we saw five baptized in the name of Jesus. Amen. 11 received the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. All in a nation that most people have never even heard of. Most people have never heard of it because it's so small and doesn't really play a role on the world stage. But I'm thankful to know that it doesn't matter who you are or where you're from. Amen. God is interested in you. Amen. God is interested in the people of Andorra. Even though you may not know who they are or what language they speak or what they look like, God didn't overlook it just because it was a small nation. Amen. I think that gives us hope tonight. Amen. No matter who you are tonight, amen, the Lord is interested in you. God is interested in what's going on in your life, and He loves you and He cares for you. Amen. And now we are answering the call to go to Haiti. Haiti is a different place. It is a place full of unique challenges and very difficult challenges. And for the last year and a half now, we've been traveling and raising funds to go to the nation of Haiti. And we have a quick video that I'm going to show you. Thankfully, my wife, she's not here with me, but she is on the video, so you get to hear from her. There's so much that I've got to tell you in such a short amount of time that I usually forget about 50% of it. And so we made a video. Smart, right? So if you guys have that video, y'all go ahead and play that.
Hello, we are Joshua and Lalina Tingley, and we are the new appointed missionaries to the nation of Haiti.
We're so excited about the new work the Lord has called us to. We have served a mission since 2019 in the nation of Spain and also Andorra. We served under the incredible missionaries Nathan and Tanya Herod, and we're so thankful for the experiences and all that we learned there. We take all that experience and that hope and the same saving message of Jesus Christ to Haiti.
One of the biggest challenges that's really hard for us as Americans to understand is the level of poverty that Haitians live in, the level of chaos that is just a normal part of their day. Infrastructure is non-existent. Electricity, they're supposed to receive electricity for an hour a day. That rarely happens. There's no trash pickup. There's no running water. All of these things that we as Americans take for granted, that we just assume the rest of the world has as well. The first time that I visited Haiti, it was very overwhelming. I couldn't even speak. I didn't know places like that existed in the world. I literally turned to my wife and I said, I didn't know this existed, especially so close to the United States. It's really not that far.
Haiti is a nation with a lot of unique challenges. Haiti has 11 million people with a 60% literacy rate. This means reading the Bible and talking to them about Jesus can be difficult because they are unable to read their Bibles. The poverty level is enormous. As well, there are gangs all over the nation that make it difficult for transportation and getting around.
The work in Haiti is broken up into three categories. We have, of course, the national work where we have 500 plus churches in the nation. We also have the Bible school, which houses over 120 students every year. And of course, the humanitarian work, which involves our children's homes and involves disaster relief. These three areas make up a big portion of what is needed and the work that is done in the nation of Haiti.
the hunger for God is immense and palpable in the nation of Haiti. I want to tell you a short story. We were there doing a small crusade, and as my husband gave the altar call and asked, does anyone want the Holy Ghost or want to be filled with the gospel? We expected people to come forward who had never heard this before, and instead the altars quickly flooded with everybody in the room. The first person to the altar was the district secretary's wife, not because she'd never been filled with the Holy Ghost before, but because in a nation like Haiti, all you have is God, and she was so hungry for another touch. That is what's so special and unique about Haiti, is it doesn't matter how many times you've received the Spirit before or how many times you have felt God before. You are so hungry for another touch. Every opportunity to touch God is just like your first.
We want to say thank you so much. You are going with us to Haiti to change a nation, to change a life when you give. And we say thank you for going with us. Thank you for giving. Thank you for being a part of what God is doing in the nation of Haiti.
Thank you so much for your prayers. Your prayers are building our covering over our family and over the work in Haiti, over all of the incredible people there and the powerful work that God has in store for that nation.
Amen. God bless each and every one of you.
God bless. Thank you.
Amen. As you can see, Haiti's a lot different than Spain, and there's a lot of challenges that we are facing at this time. As you know, partners are how we get back to the field, and when we get there, projects are how we get things done. And so one of the main projects that we're working on right now is our equipment project. How many like electricity? Woo. How many like air conditioning? Yes, Lord. I don't know if you knew this, but in Haiti, it's hot. And when I mean it's hot, I mean it's real hot. We have two seasons, hot and hotter, okay? It's just, it's all there is hot. And because of there's no electricity, everything that we do kind of runs on solar panels or generators and all of these things. And so our equipment budget goes to help us purchase things like that for our facilities and for the homes and all of that that we have in Haiti. And so if you want to be a part of that, of course, speak with your pastor, and you can be a part of that project. And we're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do in Haiti. One of the scenes that you saw in the video was our Bible school graduation. That happened this past May. I was privileged to go be a part of the opening day of Bible school and then a part of the graduation service. And graduation service this past year, we had 33 students graduate from our three-year program. It's very exciting. It's very exciting. It's one of the greatest things that we have going on in Haiti, because what these 33 students have to go through just to be at Bible school is astounding. They are traveling through one of the most dangerous cities in the world. Port-au-Prince is completely taken over by gangs. It is not safe to be out and about. But these students are traveling through these streets, and they are they're riding on public transportation, which is nothing like what we have here. Public transportation in Haiti is what they call a tap-tap. And tap-tap is a small pickup truck with a canopy, and in the bed of the pickup truck, they've got seats that go all the way around the edges. You get in, and you sit down, and when all the seats fill up, whoever's left, they got to stand on the bumper of the pickup truck and hold on for dear life through some of the craziest roads in the world. And so they're traveling, doing whatever they're going, public transportation, riding bikes, motorcycles, all of this through this city and the surrounding areas just to come to Bible school on Saturday. And they come every Saturday during the school season, and they spend the entire Saturday up there at the Bible school. School starts at 8:30. And now some of these students are traveling an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, some even 4 hours every weekend just to be at Bible school. And so to have 33 students who have committed to that for 3 years is so exciting, because it tells me when they're going back into their regions and back into their churches and their communities, what an impact they're going to make, amen, that they are so committed to God's word that they'll go through all of that just to come study his word. That's how hungry they are for God. And so we are excited about what these 33 students means for our churches, for our nation. This is our next generation of pastors. pastors. This is our next generation of leaders. These are the people who are going to make decisions in the nation, and they have been trained in the Word of God, and they are committed to the Word of God. And so it's so exciting to see what God is doing in our Bible school. In fact, a few years ago, two of our students who had the longest journey, I believe they were the ones that were traveling upwards of 4 hours. I was told they even left a few times on Friday night to make sure that they were there at school on Saturday. And so after doing that for 3 years and graduating, they came to Brother and Sister Brian, who are the other missionaries there in Haiti, and they said, can we go back to our region and start a satellite campus? Because we have people who want to come to Bible college but cannot make the journey. They have other responsibilities. So we want to go home and open up a second campus. Of course, the answer was yes. And this past year as well, we had three students graduate from their Bible college campus. And so that brings us to a total of 36 students graduating this past year, amen, who have been trained in the Word of God, who have been trained in apostolic doctrine, amen. And we believe that it's going to make a difference. We believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be, is going to make a difference in the kingdom of God and in the nation of Haiti. Amen. Amen. If you would you stand with me as we go to the word of the Lord? 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10. Again, just want to give honor to your pastor for the invitation, amen, to come and to share our burden for Haiti. Man, we are excited to connect with this church here, and we are excited to have new prayer partners. Before you leave, stop by our table out in the foyer. We have some printed material or bookmarks and business cards, fridge magnets, all of these things that you can take with you to remind you to pray for Haiti and to pray for our family and the Bryans and the work that is going on in Haiti. And there's a QR code on all of that stuff. You can scan that. You can rewatch the video that we just played, and you can also find our prayer list and our newsletter and all of that stuff on that material. So please grab one of those on your way out and partner with us in prayer over the nation of Haiti. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10. If you have it, would you say amen? Amen. If you don't have it, say, wait on me. All right, I gave you a chance. It says, I'm going to read from the NLT. If you have it, you can put it up there. If not, that's fine. It says, this is why we work hard and continue to struggle. Can I get an amen? For our hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and particularly of all believers. This is why we work hard. This is a statement that sums up the work in Haiti. This is why we are working hard and continue the struggle. We continue in the fight. Why? Because our hope is not in this world, but it's in a living God who is the Savior, I believe, is the Savior of all people. Amen. No matter who you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what you look like, no matter what language you speak, the Bible says He is the Savior of all people. Amen. I'm thankful that we have hope in a living God. Amen. Would you lift up your hands one more time and to go with me before the Lord? God, we thank you for your goodness and your mercies and your kindness. God, we thank you, Lord, that you are the Savior of all people, because that includes me, Lord. That includes my family. That includes my neighborhood, Lord. That includes my community, and that includes this nation and the nations of this world. We pray, oh God, that this hope would be spread throughout this community and throughout this world in the name of Jesus. Would you put your hands together one more time as you're seated this evening? Amen. I want to just talk for the next few minutes this evening on the subject, hope for Haiti. Hope for Haiti. And when I speak of hope for Haiti, I want you to remember that Haiti can easily be replaced with any name or any place. For if there is hope for Haiti, then there has to be hope for you. And if there is hope for you tonight, then there has to be hope for Haiti. In 2010, an earthquake struck the nation of Haiti, devastating this small island nation, just one-third of an island shared with the Dominican Republic. This is a small nation of over 10 million people. In this one natural disaster, 200,000 people died. 200,000, a staggering number of people died in one single natural disaster. This, of course, did not go unnoticed by the rest of the world. I'm sure you heard about it on the news when it happened. There were many efforts around the world, including here in the United States, to raise funds and send help to Haiti to help them rebuild in this time of disaster. And so massive amounts of aid and resources begin to pour in to Haiti to help them rebuild. Here we are now, 13 years later, billions of dollars later, not much has changed in Haiti. Infrastructure is non-existent. There is no running water. There's no electricity. Law and order are not commonplace in Haiti. Faced with so little progress over 13 years, so little progress with billions of dollars invested and mountains of resources sent, the world has begun to see Haiti as a lost cause, a place without hope. They've begun to reduce aid. They've pulled out their assistance. There's no more peacekeepers. They've pulled back and they're not sending support. They're not sending things like they used to. They're not as interested in helping anymore. For if their billions of dollars couldn't fix it, then they just simply believe it can't be fixed, Pastor. If our greatest minds and all of the politicians and all of the celebrities that got together and raised money and sent to help Haiti rebuild, if they couldn't do it, then it simply cannot be done. If our resources and our ideas have not helped that nation, then that nation must not be able to be saved. It must be without hope. There must be nothing that can be done to help them recover. However, this evening, I am convinced, and you might call me crazy, and I'm all right with that, but I am convinced tonight that there is yet one kingdom that has not given up on Haiti, and it's not a kingdom of this world, but it is a heavenly kingdom. And upon its throne sits the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And let me tell you, he's not deterred by the buildings that have yet to be rebuilt. He's not turned away by the roads that are impossible to traverse, but he is interested in a group of people who are simply hungry for a God who can step into their impossible situation and bring hope where everybody else said there is no hope and there is no way. I believe that God is the way, the truth, and the life this evening. I believe where everybody else has failed, God can succeed. God can do what others cannot do tonight. This is why in the nation of Haiti, we have built over 500 churches in this small island. And we have built over 300 schools attached to our churches. We've built a medical facility and multiple children's homes. Why? Because we are reaching for the people of Haiti on every level. To us, it doesn't matter who you are or where you come from. It doesn't matter how much money you got in the bank or you don't got in the bank, whether you live in a nice house or in a shack. God is interested in you, and God desires to fill you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and God wants to wash your sins away in the waters of baptism. I believe today that the gospel of Jesus Christ is greater than $1 billion. I hope I'm not alone tonight, but I just believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ can do what the nations of this world have failed to do. I believe that the gospel, I wouldn't sell it to you for $1 billion. Why? Because there's something greater found within this word. There's a promise in here that's more important to me than $1 billion. It'll do what this world can't do. You might say we've done all we can do. Well, guess what? There's one who can do more than you can do. Hey man, we are reaching for people on every level. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, let me tell you, I believe that if it works anywhere, then it has to work anywhere.
I believe that if it works for anybody, it has to work for everybody. For God is no respecter of persons. He is not limited by geographical location. He is not limited by language. He is not limited by culture. He is not limited by governments. He is not limited by borders. But the gospel of Jesus Christ can go into any culture, can go into any place, no matter the language. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it simply works. Amen. If your life is turned upside down, the gospel of Jesus Christ will work for you. If your marriage is falling apart, the gospel of Jesus Christ will work for you. If you're driving a Rolls Royce tonight, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it still works for you. If you're driving a beater tonight, then the gospel of Jesus Christ, it still works for you. It works. He'll wash your sins away. Woo. Did you know that it's the same Holy Ghost that you received here in this building is the same Holy Ghost that we saw poured out in the nation of Spain. It was the same God that was putting lives together in Spain that's done it here. It's the same God that washes sins away here when you go down in the waters of baptism in the name of Jesus. Guess what? We speak the same name of Jesus over every life that is baptized, no matter the country, no matter the language. Why? Because we believe it is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is able to save and set captives free and deliver. In fact, even in the midst of all of this, in the midst of chaos in Haiti, gangs have taken over. When gangs take over the distribution of gas, which is how we run everything, gas prices skyrocket to $30 a gallon. And you have to go to the gangs to buy it. And yet, just a few months ago, while there were no missionaries in Haiti because of the current situation, a few of the pastors got together and had some people in their church that wanted to be baptized. Now remember, this is in a time where the gangs are in control. And when they take over, they take over the distribution of gas and water and all other essentials. And this group of pastors with their four or five saints that needed to be baptized made their way through the city where people are dying and getting shot. And they made it all the way up to our headquarters compound. And when they got there, they got enough gas to fill up the generator. Now let me put this in perspective. The average wage in Haiti is $30 a month. And they got enough money to fill up the generator. And they pumped water out of a well that they could very easily drink out of. But instead of putting it in bottles, they filled up the baptistry. And they baptized four or five people that day just a few months ago, because they believe in the power of this gospel more than their next breath, more than their next drink of water. They believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ, it works. It works. Amen. I believe tonight in this gospel. And I couldn't stand here tonight and tell you that there's hope for you if I didn't also believe there was hope for Haiti. And I could not go to the nation of Haiti and preach hope if I did not believe there was hope for you. It was a few years ago, my wife and I, before we got into missions, before we went to Spain, we were living in Southeast Texas, and I don't know if you remember, this is another natural disaster story, so it fits in perfect. But Hurricane Harvey came through just a few years ago and began to flood our region. Most of the families in our churches were affected. I think it was some 86 families in our church lost their home due to flooding. Some had 2 feet of water. Some had 8 feet of water. My buddy's house was so far underwater, you could drive a boat over top and never know it was there. like nothing I have ever seen before. It was during this time that we began to work as the waters are receding. We're helping families get back into their homes. This was a very uncommon flood, and so most people didn't have any flood insurance. And so we were working with the community, and there was donations coming in from all over the United States, people driving stuff down. And so we're helping the families get back into their home. We're going in, and we're gutting everybody's house. If you got less than 4 feet of water, we gutted about 2 feet or 4 feet down and threw everything else away that was touching the floor. And then you could go back in and rebuild. If you got anything above that, we just had to gut everything. And so it was about a year of working like this with the church, and the young guys in the church were out there. People are finally getting back into their homes about a year later. And one of our church members, the house next to him, had kind of just seemed to be sitting there. Nobody was really doing anything with it. And so I began to question or investigate a little bit about this house, and turns out he knew the owner, and he was willing to sell it. And so I bought this house. My wife and I just moved to the area like the month before Harvey hit. And so we weren't living in our own home. And so this was our first house. We're fresh out of Bible school, and I bought us our first house in Vider. And when you open up the door to this house, nobody had been back in this house since the day they left a year ago. It had sat with no power. Nobody had come back to clean up anything. I mean, the dishes that had not yet been done were still in the sink, and the leftovers were still in the fridge. It was awful. Everything had kind of just floated. We had 2 or 3 feet of water in this house. Everything had kind of just floated around. The fridge had fallen over and then just settled back down. You walk in and the laundry that had not yet been folded in the baskets tipped over on the couch. The beds are still partially made, and they had soaked up all that water and then just dried out in the humid air over a year. Talk about moldy. Y'all, it was gross. I mean, the mold was on the floor, to the walls, to the ceiling. Everything was gross. And this was our first home. I brought my wife there. I said, "Welcome home, honey." No, I'm smarter than that. She didn't see the house for like 3 months. And so I talked to a couple of the young guys into coming to help me because, you know, we're pros at this point. We've been doing this for a year. And so I talked to some of the young guys from the youth group. I said, "Y'all come help me." And we suited up. We had our hazmat suits on and our respirators and goggles and gloves. And we're going to work. And we're gutting this house. And it takes us months to get this thing clean. I mean, we went down to the studs and then replaced some of them too. But it was in those first few days we're working in the living room, and you're standing in this snapshot of somebody's life, and yet everything is decaying and rotting around you. I remember on one side of the room there was all of these books, just these stacks of books. There was an entertainment center, and on either side there was just stacks and stacks of books, textbooks and all kinds of things. And when you went to reach down and pick up the top book, all of the books underneath of it were kind of just stuck to it. They were just one giant unreadable stack of paper. They couldn't separate the books. You couldn't separate the pages. Everything was just one gross stack of paper. And yet we're working in this environment, we're picking things up and we're throwing it away. And one of the young guys that was with me, he reached down and he picked up the top book on one of these stacks that just happened to be a Bible. And somehow this Bible came away from all the books that were underneath. And so he reaches down and he picks up the Bible and he says, "Well, look what I found. I found a Bible." And he said, "It seems to be in pretty good condition. In fact, there was no mold on the Bible." And so he began to flip through the pages of that Bible, and every page was in pristine condition. There was no running of the letters. There was no pages even stuck together. In fact, this is the very Bible that came out of that house. I've never had to wipe it down or clean it or dry it out or anything. You can open it up and just simply pick up and begin to read. So one of the young guys, the other young guy that was with me, he looked at the first young guy and he said, "Well, open it up and see what it says." I don't know what possessed him. I think he's read his Bible before. But he said, what does it say? And so, of course, being a young, good Pentecostal boy, the first one opened up to Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. You got it. And in this Bible, this is how Acts 2:38 reads. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, I started getting a little bit excited, and I don't know if they knew why. But I said, give me that book. I need to check a few things. And so, of course, me also being a good young Pentecostal boy, I went to the Old Testament and went to Deuteronomy 6:4. You got it. And in this Bible, this one, you can check yours, but in this one, this is how Deuteronomy 6:4 reads. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you might be saying, well, that's all fine and good, but what are you trying to tell us tonight? What I want to tell somebody and encourage somebody this evening is, the message of this book did not change just because of what it had been through. Every promise in this book remained the same, even though it had been through a pretty terrible storm, even though everything else around it had been destroyed, even though everything else, every other written piece of material was no longer legible, there was something that survived the storm, and it was the promises and the word of God, which the Bible declares are forever settled in heaven. His word doesn't change just because you go through things. Let me put it to you like this. Your problems have not altered his promises. Oh, I can preach that all night tonight, and I can preach it right to you, but I can also preach it to Haiti. Haiti, your problems haven't changed the fact that we serve a God who keeps his word. Haiti, your problems have not changed the fact that his word declares he's for you. Your pain has not changed his plan one bit, and your dilemma has not damaged his word. But it remains the same. You can flip through the pages of this old book all the way back to Genesis chapter number 22, and you'll still find Abraham's right there declaring, Jehovah Jireh, God is my provider. And in this old book tonight, you can flip over to Exodus 15, and you'll still discover Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals. And even though the book lay there abandoned and nobody wanted it, his word still declares he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Why? Because the storms of life don't change the promises of God. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, the gospel of Jesus Christ remains the same. The power of the name of Jesus has not been diminished by your sickness. The power of the name of Jesus has not been diminished by your sickness, by your infirmity, or by your disease. But the promise remains the same. By his stripes, we are healed. And the name of Jesus is still greater than every sickness, than every disease, than your depression tonight. It's the gospel of Jesus. It's for everybody, and it never changes. If this time, if I were to be finished raising all of my funds and partners and all of that, I couldn't go to Haiti. It's actually become so dangerous in the past 6 months. Gangs have taken over 60% of the capital city. The president has been assassinated. They have filled the streets, bringing death and violence. Because there's no electricity, everything we have runs on generators. And so when they take over, our hospitals shut down. They run on generators. Our local businesses shut down. Our cell towers even go offline because there is no gas. In fact, one young man that was grew up on our headquarters compound playing soccer and going to one of our local churches was about 2 or 3 blocks from our headquarters. Him and about 9 other people standing at waiting for the public transportation to come, and fighting broke out close by, and 9 of them were killed, including this young man. This just happened a few months ago. Haiti needs a miracle now. Haiti needs God more than ever before. We need a miracle in our nation. We ask that you would partner with us in prayer over this nation. That God would open up the doors and push back the darkness that is in Haiti. With all of these statistics and all of these stories, people begin to wonder, is there really hope for Haiti? Is there really hope for a nation like this? Is there really hope? Is there really something that could be done here? Can God really move in all of this? I would submit to you tonight that the hope that Haiti has comes from the same source that your hope comes from tonight, and that is found in the Word of God. And I would submit, if there is hope for Haiti, then there is hope for you tonight. And the hope for Haiti sounds a lot like the scripture that you read that says, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. That's the hope that Haiti has, and that's the hope that we have here today. It sounds like when you open up his word and begin to read, better is one day in his courts than a thousand elsewhere. Yeah, they might be living in poverty in the poorest nation in all of the Americas, but oh, better is one day in his courts than in the grandest palaces on this earth. Their hope sounds like our hope tonight, that declares he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Their hope for Haiti sounds like he shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. That's what hope sounds like for Haiti, and that's the hope that we have in this building today. It comes from the scripture that says, oh, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you might be also. Hope for Haiti sounds like, where sin abound, grace doth much more abound. Haiti has hope tonight because you have hope. And because you have hope, there's somebody in Haiti that has hope tonight. And if they have hope, then there's hope for you. And if they have hope, there's hope for the lady at the coffee shop. And if they have hope, there's hope for the people in this community that don't look like you. If they have hope, there's hope for the people in this community who don't speak the same language that you do. If they have hope, then there's hope for the drug addict on the side of the road. If they have hope, then there's hope for the alcoholic who has turned to every solution and never found a way out. If Haiti has hope, then this community has hope tonight. Man, would you stand with me tonight? I don't know what you're going through, or what you might be facing, but I've come to bring a message of hope to you. I know we've talked a lot about some hard things, but you know what? Sometimes we go through hard things. How easy it is to tell our brother, our sister, when they're going through the hard thing, I'm going to pray for you and God's going to heal you or God's going to make a way. And it's so easy to bring encouragement to somebody else. But when we get going through the storm and it begins to buffet our life or sickness hits our body, all of a sudden we're asking the question, Lord, where are you? Where are you in all of this? Are you really a healer? Are you really a deliverer? Let me encourage you tonight. His promise didn't change just because the storm is in your life. His promise didn't change just because sickness is in your life. The promise didn't change just because chaos is in your family. His word remains the same. I wonder if we could lift up our hands all across this building. I wonder if for the next 30 seconds to a minute, you could pray with me over this nation. Come on, just for the next 30 to 60 seconds, I want you to lift up your voice and begin to speak out. Bind together with me, would you? I believe in the prayers of the church. I believe they can make a difference. Come on, all we need tonight is about 60 seconds of a prayer warrior lifting up their voice. Come on, and things can begin to break and things can begin to change. And as you begin to pray for that nation, God is going to begin to open up some doors in this building tonight. God is going to begin to release miracles in this building tonight. Come on, if he's the healer here, then he can be a healer in Haiti. And Haiti needs a healer. If he can be the deliverer here tonight, then he can be the deliverer there. And Haiti needs a deliverer tonight. Jesus, we need you. Lord, we lift up our brothers and our sisters in this nation. We lift up this nation, God, that is in chaos and turmoil. And we pray. We push back every darkness. We push back those that would do evil. We speak your name, Jesus. We speak peace and open doors and revival and an outpouring of the Holy Ghost like we've never seen it before. We speak apostolic revival over every nation, over our leaders, in Jesus' name. If you're here tonight and you need God to do a miracle in your body, I want you to step out from where you are and make your way down to the front. If you're here tonight and you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but you want to receive it, I want you to step out right now. Come on, if you need healing, you step on the right here. If you need the Holy Ghost, I want you to step over here on the left. Is that right, Pastor? If you've never spoken in tongues before, but you want to receive this gospel, let me tell you, your past didn't disqualify you from his promises. Your mistakes didn't change his promise to you. It's the same. It's forever settled. And you can receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Just come up to the front and God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. And if you need God to do a miracle in your life, I want you to step out from where you are right now and fill in around the front. You need God to do a financial miracle. You need God to do a physical miracle in your body. He's in this building tonight. The same God that we saw do the miracles in Spain and in Andorra is the same God that's in this building today. And the Word declares he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we speak that name of Jesus over your family. I speak the name of Jesus over your body. I speak the name of Jesus over your mind, over your marriage, over your emotions tonight. Come on, that's it. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, this is what I want us to do. A few instructions and then we're going to begin to pray. And this is the same instructions for both sides here. Anybody that's at the front. We're going to lift up both of our hands. You can go ahead. This is a practice run. Okay, good. You can put your hands down. Then we're going to close our eyes. This isn't something super spiritual. It just helps us get rid of distractions. We're going to lift up our head because we're not coming begging God. We're coming to receive something from him. Okay, so we're going to lift up our head. And then we're going to open up our mouth and begin to speak. And if you need the Holy Ghost, you've never received it, you're going to begin to pray and ask God to forgive you. And then you're going to begin to praise. And God is going to take over your tongue as you're speaking out loud. He's going to take over your tongue. You're going to begin to speak in a new language. You might hear it in your ear, not from your neighbor, but you might hear God speaking it. You just let it flow. Or you might feel it on the tip of your tongue. I want you to just begin to speak that out. And that's the sign that the Holy Ghost has just come. And if you're on this side, I want you to lift up your voice and begin to declare over the sickness, over the disease, I am healed in Jesus' name. You begin to speak his promises. By his stripes, I am healed. I receive it. That's it right now. Lift up both your hands, close your eyes, and lift your head towards heaven. Come on, would you pray right now? God, forgive me. Cleanse me, oh God. Cleanse my mind. Cleanse my heart. Let me be cleansed before you, God. Purify me in this building. I pray for forgiveness. I'm turning away from from sin. I'm turning away from my old ways, and I want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost today. Now I want you to lift up your voice and begin to speak in tongues in the name of Jesus. Come on, that's it. Let the Holy Ghost flow. I speak right now by the authority of the Word of God, by the premises that I find never changing, never wavering in your Word. We speak Jesus over sickness. I speak Jesus over cancer. I speak Jesus over pain in your body. I speak Jesus over your mind. I speak Jesus over your brokenness. In Jesus' name, receive it. Receive it. Receive it. Receive it. That's it. That's it. Lift up your voice. That's it. Lift up your voice.
No fear, 'cause I believe. There is no doubt, 'cause I have seen your faithfulness, my fortress, and over I have a hope found in your name. I have a strength found in your grace, your faithfulness, my fortress, over and over. And make way through the
possible. when we ask or think, Lord, you will never fail.
Your name is powerful.
Come on, somebody speak it out.
Your word's unstoppable, Lord. All things are possible. Only you can do, Lord.
Yeah. Do what you are famous for.
Oh, what you are famous for.
Shut the mouths of lions. Bring dry bones to life.
And do
what you are famous for. What you are famous for. Make way through the waters. Walk. Over and over.
so very much, Brother Josh, for such a powerful, powerful word of God tonight. And, we want to thank him. Now, because we, with our offerings, I guess I just totally missed all that when I did announcements, didn't I? What did I actually do? Online, in person, by mail, mobile giving, we all kind of know how to do that. If you're watching online, you can see that. But make sure you put down missions, Haiti, so we know where that needs to go. But we'll be blessing him with an offering here and taking him on as a partner in missions. And I'm excited. Thank you so very much for preaching a powerful word. Isn't that amazing about that Bible? I have here, and I just want to share this with you before I leave, before we leave. I have here, we're having a, and we all can't attend this because of this building won't, we all won't fit. But I have in my hand a special transition service. It's going to be taking place in Janesville at the All Saints Anglican Catholic Church as it shifts to Rock Ministries of Janesville, Wisconsin. That will be May 7th at 2 p.m. We'll be sharing it with Pastor Earl, the vicar of All Saints Anglican Church, kind of as a gesture of them passing the building over to us. Many of you, maybe you know, maybe you don't know, but we were able to purchase the building for basically $55,000, fully furnished. And it's just amazing. Amazing, amazing what God is doing. And I am very excited for our Janesville congregation. Pray for Brother Ben, Sister Victoria. She's having some health issues. The devil doesn't want a church in Janesville. If you know anything about the history of Janesville, the last, I believe, three pastors that have started, things have just gone sour and south, and congregations falling apart, and all kinds of things have happened because the enemy doesn't want a church in Janesville. But I just want to let them know that too bad, so sad. We're glad. We have three pastors in Janesville now. And Pastor Ben is our senior pastor down there, but we have Brother Caskey, Elder Caskey, is assisting with Sister Caskey and Brother Carrie and Debbie Millen. He's recently received his local license. So we're just gonna plant churches in Janesville. And God's gonna do this. God's gonna do this. All we have to do, church, is fulfill our purpose, and we all know what our purpose is, right? We got that straight. Our purpose is to spread this gospel, introduce people to Jesus, and then we fulfill our calling, our specific calling, whatever that is, whatever God's calling you to do, it all ties in with his purpose. He's not going to call you to do something that doesn't fulfill his purpose. Understand that. So God is awesome. What an awesome service. Thank you, Sister Sarah. Great job tonight leading us in worship, to the music team, to all of our techie folks back there. God bless you. God bless you. We will be back here Sunday morning, and I'm excited. Enjoy the rest of this week. And we go from snowblowers one weekend, lawnmowers the next. God bless.